Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Rockefeller Controlling the Game by Jacob Nordangard is an investigative nonfiction book about the historical and political role of the Rockefeller family in climate research, environmental activism, philanthropy, and global policy formation. The book examines a central paradox. A dynasty built on oil wealth later became deeply associated with funding environmental science and institutions concerned with planetary governance. Nordangard follows the family from Standard Oil and the rise of the Rockefeller Foundation to later debates surrounding climate policy, the Paris Agreement, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Its purpose is not simply biographical. It is a critical inquiry into how private wealth, scientific funding, political networks, and ideological projects can intersect. The book also discusses Rockefeller's influence in adjacent fields, such as medicine, population policy, agriculture, behavioral science, information technology, art, and architecture. It belongs to the category of critical political history and elite influence studies, with a strongly skeptical view of philanthropic power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the oil dynasty paradox behind Rockefeller climate engagement. A central topic in Rockefeller Controlling the Game is the apparent contradiction between the Rockefeller family origin in Standard Oil and its later support for environmental and climate initiatives. Nordangard treats this paradox as the starting point for a broader investigation into power, legitimacy, and strategic adaptation. The issue is not presented merely as hypocrisy, but as a question of how a family associated with fossil fuel wealth could help shape the scientific and political framing of climate change. By following the transition from industrial capitalism to philanthropic influence, the book suggests that elite families can retain relevance by moving from direct control over commodities to influence over research agendas, policy priorities, and institutional narratives. This focus gives the book a distinctive structure. It is less concerned with proving a single business motive than with mapping how wealth can migrate across domains. The climate issue becomes a case study in the ability of private funders to participate in public problem definition. Readers are asked to consider whether climate advocacy funded by historically powerful economic actors should be assessed only by its stated goals, or also by the institutional power it consolidates. Secondly, philanthropic foundations as instruments of scientific and political agenda setting. Nordangard places major emphasis on the Rockefeller Foundation and related philanthropic structures as mechanisms through which private wealth can influence public knowledge. The book describes philanthropy not simply as charitable giving, but as a durable institutional form capable of funding research, training experts, supporting networks, and legitimizing policy directions over long periods. In this interpretation, foundations can shape what questions become important, which experts gain authority, and which solutions appear practical or inevitable. The argument is especially relevant to climate research and environmental politics, where scientific authority, international coordination, and public communication all depend on institutional sponsorship. The book also connects this model of influence to fields beyond climate, including medicine, agriculture, family planning, behavioral science, and education. This broader scope matters because it portrays Rockefeller power as systemic rather than episodic. Nordangard is interested in how philanthropic authority can appear neutral while still advancing particular visions of society. The practical insight for readers is that funding sources do not automatically invalidate research, but they can affect the boundaries of debate, the organization of expertise, and the relationship between science and policy. Thirdly, climate politics linked to futurism and planetary transformation. The book argues that Rockefeller-backed climate engagement should be understood within a larger project of future-oriented social transformation. Nordangard connects climate policy with themes such as futurism, systems thinking, New Age-influenced ideas, and the ambition to redesign relations among economy, ecology, technology, culture, and human behavior. This is one of the more provocative parts of the book because it shifts attention from emissions policy to worldview. Climate change is treated not only as an environmental problem, but also as a gateway for new forms of governance and technological coordination. The mention of the Fourth Industrial Revolution is important in this context because it suggests a convergence between climate policy, digital infrastructure, behavioral management, and global planning. Nordangard presents this convergence critically, emphasizing the risk that ecological urgency can justify sweeping interventions into society. The book, therefore, asks readers to distinguish between environmental protection as a practical goal and planetary transformation as a political program. Whether or not readers accept the full force of the critique, the topic highlights a genuine analytical concern. Large-scale crises often create opportunities for institutional redesign, and those designs reflect the values of powerful actors. Fourthly, propaganda, public opinion, and the management of environmental narratives. Another important topic is the role of communication strategy in making climate politics socially and politically authoritative. Nordengård describes the Rockefeller family and allied institutions as using sophisticated propaganda techniques, not in the narrow sense of crude misinformation, but in the broader sense of shaping perception, framing urgency, and guiding public consent. The book is concerned with how scientific claims move into media campaigns, policy language, activist networks, and educational messaging. This focus is significant because public understanding of climate change is mediated through institutions that select facts, metaphors, priorities, and emotional appeals. Nordengård is skeptical of the idea that environmental narratives emerge spontaneously from scientific discovery alone. Instead, he presents them as organized through funders, think tanks, international bodies, advocacy groups, and elite networks. The reasoning is that political legitimacy often depends on narrative control. A problem must be defined, an enemy or danger identified, and a solution made acceptable. The book encourages readers to examine how environmental discourse is constructed and who benefits from particular framings. Its value here lies in foregrounding the infrastructure of persuasion that often remains invisible behind policy debates. Lastly, Rockefeller influence across medicine, population policy, agriculture, and technology, although climate politics is the main focus. Rockefeller controlling the game broadens its analysis to other fields where Rockefeller institutions have historically been influential. Nordengård discusses areas such as modern medicine, family planning, agriculture, behavioral science, information technology, art, architecture, and geopolitics. This wider lens is crucial because it supports the book view that climate activism is not an isolated concern but part of a longer pattern of elite involvement in social, engineering, and institutional modernization. The Rockefeller Foundation has been publicly associated with major 20th century initiatives in public health, medical education, agricultural development, and international policy networks, and the book interprets these efforts through a critical power analysis. The point is not merely that the family funded many sectors, but that cross-sector influence can create coherence among otherwise separate domains. Health, food systems, population, technology, and climate can all become parts of a single administrative imagination centered on managing humanity at scale. This topic also reveals the book's main limitation because it spans many complex fields. Readers must distinguish documented institutional history from the author's broader interpretive claims. Still, the scope helps explain why the book stands apart from narrower climate policy critiques. In conclusion, Rockefeller Controlling the Game is best suited for readers interested in elite networks, climate politics, philanthropic foundations, and the political uses of science. It will appeal especially to those who want a skeptical account of how private wealth can influence public institutions and international agendas. The intellectual benefit of the book is that it encourages readers to look behind policy outcomes and ask how problems are framed, funded, researched, communicated, and institutionalized. Even readers who do not share all of Nordengård's critical conclusions may find value in the questions the book raises about philanthropic legitimacy, agenda setting, and the concentration of influence in nominally public debates. Compared with many books about climate change, it does not focus mainly on atmospheric science, energy transition, or environmental ethics. Compared with standard Rockefeller biographies, it does not center on personal character or business history alone. Its distinguishing feature is the attempt to connect oil wealth, foundation power, climate activism, futurist governance, and broader social planning into one interpretive framework. This makes it a controversial but distinctive work in the field of critical political nonfiction. It should be read with attention to evidence and sourcing, but also with awareness that its main contribution is structural analysis rather than conventional biography. If you would like to support Jacob Nordengård, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.